Our morning conversation guest this morning in for his monthly visit is SIU President Randy Dunn. Dr. Dunn, thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Jennifer.
As it usually happens, there's been some news over the last week or so that we need to talk about as we kick things off this morning. That news, of course, is the Illinois Educational Labor Relations Board ruled in favor of SIU's three IEA unions.
Yes.
Supporting what the administrative law judge had said before, that
yes.
those furlough days back in 2011, they were wrong, and there
yes.
needs to be a reimbursement. Last week, the Board of Trustees and your administration decided you're not going to go through with any more appeals. Can you walk us through the process and where we stand now?
Sure. A little bit of background there, and you've set it up nicely. Actually, what the issue was at hand wasn't as much the furlough days themselves, but the means by which the university got to the furlough days. And what was found to not stand the test was the fact that the bargaining to take those furlough days, you can't just impose those at will. You have to bargain the process. So the argument was that the university imposed those too soon, that bargaining was underway, it had not gone to impasse, and on that basis then bargaining stopped on the basis of the university
it's
saying, well,
we've
done enough of that, and now we're just going to impose those days. So that's what was determined to be the action that had to be revisited, had to be changed. And again, the administrative law judge spoke to that, and that was reaffirmed by the full Labor Relations Board. So at any rate, we had the opportunity upon losing that case to appeal it into the court system. And to some degree, I think people probably decided that the university took a look at this and thought through kind of a cost-benefit analysis, made a decision that it didn't make sense to appeal or it'd be even more expensive to appeal, and pulled back and in essence settled and said that we would pay those furlough days. And certainly that was part of it. As we were working it internally, looking at the labor board's decision, we tried to think through what it would cost for an appeal, look at our chances of prevailing, going into the court system and that type of thing. And on that kind of classic cost-benefit approach, decided it probably didn't make a lot of sense. But there was another driver to this as well, and for me, and that was the fact that we really, in my view, needed to close the chapter on that time. Given the change in administrations and the fact that we're trying to do some resetting on the campus in terms of operations and procedures, this just seemed to be one more thing that was hanging out there. And I do think, in terms of the organizational culture, if you will, of the campus, it's not a bad thing just to have this put to bed, to be able to move forward into a new chapter and not go to court. So, yes, there was kind of a more rational analysis of it, but also it wasn't just that. It was also, my thinking, and the board's as well, that, we'd come to the time to move on.
No, we talked about this before when the administrative law judge issued that preliminary
That's right.
ruling.
That's right.
That it's, $1.9 million?
About $1.7 for those impacted.
Okay.
But one of the things that the board will have to undertake when they come back for their meeting in March, their next regular meeting, is whether or not to make whole all of the other individuals on campus who did in fact take furlough days. So you have a sizable number of individuals who were represented by other unions. Those unions did agree to take the furlough days. In essence, bargaining took place, and they said, yes, we'll do this. So you have those employees repped by other organizations, as well as many staffers who are not represented by any union at all, many of them administrative professional staff, who took days. So we'll ask the board whether or not it's their desire to make those individuals whole as well. If so, that would be another roughly $1.2, $1.3 million, and we'll get a response on that from the board in March. But the 1.7 is to deal with the employees of those unions who took the case to the labor board.
This was the big issue of the last week or so, but it sets up the discussion about the budget, which
yes.
we have talked about so many times. This money was already set aside in this budget.
It was. Obviously, as we were coming into this new budget year, the fiscal year that started last July 1, we were able to pool together unused salary monies. Obviously, you have vacancies that occur. Sometimes you over budget to some degree in various units. So we did try to pool all of the salary monies, salary savings together to carry over into this year. And the thinking in part was, yes, there may be this decision we had to deal with. We're also in the midst of bargaining. We didn't know when that process would come to an end and we would possibly see a salary increase from that. So, yes, we did have the ability to pull monies together to handle this bill. It will make, I think, the current bargaining a little more challenging. I would assume that as that bargaining continues, we'll see at some point a salary increase request, and we'll have to think pretty creatively about how we address that. But, again, I do think this was the right thing to do to get that history past us and move on.
As with so many times, there's a lot more to talk about than we have time for.
Always.
But I appreciate you coming in to talk about this today. You can hear more today at WSIUnews.org. The conversation continues online with SIU President Randy Dunn, who's a guest today on WSIU's Morning Conversation.